This is Ozarks at Large. Alexander Watson and his partner Dale Harris took a classic 1955 Chris Craft Corsair cabin cruiser from eastern Oklahoma on the Arkansas River. It's part of an epic trip. Here's the deal, though. Neither had any real previous boating experience. And when they first found the classic boat, it had been idle for years and needed work. Watson's new book, River Queens, Saucy Boat, Stout Mates, Spotted Dog, America, recounts the story. The adventure began with an unplanned trip to the Dallas Boat Show, where they discovered a picture of the boat they would eventually name Betty Jane in honor of Dale's mother. Watson says after purchasing the boat, they committed to spending 1 week a month and one full month fixing it up in its Oklahoma marina home.
Of course, as the project gets going, and this is often true with projects, you know, if you've redone a bathroom in a house or a kitchen in a house or anything, you know, or the landscaping, you understand that it always takes longer to do something than you propose. But in this particular case, Dale and I found that we would extend that week to 2 weeks and 3 weeks because it was as much trouble to break down shop, put it back in the truck, and drive it back to Dallas as it was to just get it done. So we often stayed and got things done. But still, it was 2 years because everything was toast. In fact, the surveyor, the inspector who inspected the boat prior to purchase for the benefit of the insurance company, told us that we had a good hull for a boat of its age, a remarkable hull for being a wooden hull. But he said, gentlemen, that's all you've got. You've got two running engines and a viable hull, and that's all you have. And he was right. All the domestic systems, everything, had to be ripped out and started over.
Well, and one of the fun anecdotes, or fun for the reader, I don't know how it was for the two of you, but just to buy it, of course, you have to get it insured, and all the things that insurers want to make sure you do within a certain amount of days of purchase. It seems like, when I'm reading River Queen, Saucy Boat, Stout Mate, Spotted Dog, America, it seems like that's when some of this starts to settle in. I think they found 42 defects.
42 defects, yes. After survey, we brought the boat back into the slip, and we disconnected the batteries as best we knew how, and in so doing, we disabled a bilge pump, and nothing kept this boat afloat except the bilge pumps. And we had been called out to the marina on a separate errand having to do with slip assignment, and just as a matter of routine, we went to go look at something we might be purchasing. And we stepped onto the boat, and we saw that she was flooded and full of water. So we panicked and we went and to the service and we said, oh my God, this boat's, well, nobody cares about that boat. And so they gave us a bilge pump and they said, go pump the bilge, but you have to be done by 5 o'clock because we're all going home. And I thought, well, what if we can't get it done by 5 o'clock? Well, just at 4:59, one of the techs came and they collected the bilge pump and that was that. What we had to do was go replace that bilge pump. Not because we had any obligation, but because the salesman said that service wouldn't do it without charging us an arm and a leg, and I didn't own the boat at the time. The owner didn't want to do it because she didn't want the boat because she had abandoned it 2 years ago. And the salesman didn't want to do it because he wasn't sure he was going to be able to make a commission on this sale. And so nobody was interested in installing a bilge pump in that boat. So Dale and I did, and we said, in exchange for buying the pump and installing it, we want to have an overnight in the boat. And when we were in that overnight, what I was really, really concerned about was the finish on the light fixtures, which needed to be cleaned. And so I had a little polishing brush and a little polishing, and I was more interested in that than anything else, which demonstrates how ignorant I was as to what there was to be involved. And thank God there was Carl Parks at Heritage Marine, who, when he got the survey with 42 defects, was able to sit down and prioritize those repairs for us. And the first thing were the things that kept it from sinking.
There's a great ending to one of the chapters in River Queens where you write, "We are excited, we are anxious, and we know nothing about rivers." As you're planning this trip, it's you know, one of those classic, if I knew now what I didn't know then sort of thing.
If I had known then what I knew now, I wouldn't have done it.
But there
and this is where ignorance is bliss. If we had known, because everyone knows this, all experienced boaters and even amateur boaters know to stay away from a wooden boat. What we discovered on the river on the trip across the Heartland is that there is a rotten wooden boat in every marina and every shipyard across this land. But we didn't know that. What we knew was here is a marvelous piece of stuff that needs to be restored, and we bought it not knowing that there was another one next door and another one next door to that, another one next door to that. So if we had known, we wouldn't have embarked on that journey, and we are so glad that we were ignorant.
There are many occasions, whether you're talking to someone at a marina or you're talking to a fellow boater, where they say one thing, and you say, but what about? And, you know, it slowly is revealed to you that, yeah, I'm not going to use the term in over your heads, but there's a whole different world out there for you as this process continues, isn't there?
That's one of the thrusts of the book, is if you don't go, you can't know. What we discovered, particularly at this time in our lives in this country, if you believe, well, let me put it another way. If I believe what about this country, what I see on the social media from even my friends and acquaintances, then I would believe in an America that I don't believe really exists, because it has been packaged for me in a way that I can get it in a few seconds. By virtue of the fact that I have been across this country, the heartland of this country, at 8 miles an hour and been dependent on complete strangers for my water, my food, my fuel, my shelter, my transportation, all of my needs, who had no reason, no real incentive to help me other than they wanted to, then I would not understand that this really is a very unified country that seems to be fixated on a little fraction, on some fractious parts of the government at the moment. And I don't mean to belittle that, and I don't mean to say that isn't a serious situation, but I have had benefit of being up close and personal with the people, the salt of the earth of this country, and have a great deal of optimism about its future because of that. If I hadn't had a river trip in order to introduce myself to that element, then I would have a very different view of this country's future.
Through this process, you spend a lot of time in eastern Oklahoma and Fort Smith and Ozark and along the Arkansas River, don't you?
I do, and these are people that you don't meet in the truck stops or the airports or the train stations or the bus stations of the world. These are people who are very happy living by the river and living on the water and making their living there. And so they have a very grounded mindset and a very optimistic attitude, because where they want to be is on the river, and where they are is on the river. Now, someone who loves the desert would hate it, but these people are where they want to be, doing what they want to do, and they will sacrifice almost everything in order to do that. And there is a great deal of devotion and commitment to that that is quite admirable.
And you write that it's in Ozark, meaning Ozark, Arkansas, that you came of age as boaters, that's when it sort of you went from neophytes to people who could navigate and make their way on the river.
Ozark was our first anchor out in the middle of the river over a couple of nights. And here's the contrast. In Texas, on Lake Texoma, Lake Texoma is ringed with marinas. These are all businesses who are in competition with each other to service the boater. And the boater who is ill-prepared and breaks down is money in the bank to them. That's their business model. When we went to Sallisaw, Oklahoma, we went because we were going to be specifically in the charge and care of Applegate Cove to get us underway. That was part of the contract. And this was the first time that we had been away from familiar situations, familiar surroundings, and completely on our own if on Texoma you have a problem, a phone call will take care of it. If on Kerr Lake above Lock 15, if I had a problem, I would simply radio back to Applegate Cove, and there would be five or six boaters who would be on their way to do whatever it was I needed, right? And even though in the book, John Bartlett, who we met at Salisaw, Oklahoma, promised to come get me, coming and get me at Ozark was not nearly as convenient as coming to get me at Van Buren or Fort Smith. So we were kind of well beyond the range of safety and rescue, and we were on our own. And beyond that, it was when we, in Ozark, that we understood that our life was on the boat, and that if we wanted to go ashore, we had to get into the dinghy and go ashore. We couldn't just walk across the catwalk and get in the car and go get what we needed. Also, we did not have friends and business people we had done business with to help us along the way. So we really at Ozark kind of understood the difference between the life of a long-range cruiser boater as opposed to the life of the weekender who comes down and enjoys the boat for the weekend and the holidays. This is at Ozark where we understood, okay, this is the life we will be leading for the next foreseeable future. Specifically, that we had to be at the mercy of strangers in order to get whatever we needed.
What do you hope people who perhaps never want to find a nautical version of the King and I, but people who might be searching about doing something, taking a left turn, what do you hope non-nautical readers take away from River Queens?
Dale and I were at the Bass Performance Hall in Fort Worth, Texas, and we were sitting in the lower gallery, which is the seats that we could afford. And also, the sound is best there, we think. And we were having cold feet about this trip. It was the spring of 2008, and we had contacted Applegate Marina to do the haul, but we really hadn't committed. We hadn't really committed to doing this because life was great in Dallas, and this was going to be something that we wanted to do. But do we really want to do it? I don't know. Do you really want to do it? I don't know. Do you really want to do it? And we were kind of on the fence because it was time for us to either put up or shut up. And at the end of the row was a woman who at one time had been very fit, and you could tell that she had gained weight because of inactivity, and she was on crutches. She was about my age, which was about 45 at the time, and I had not known this woman. I'd never seen this woman. I was not introduced to this woman, and Dale and I make our way down the aisle, and that the upper gallery has two aisles, one on each side, and we were in the center. And so we make our way during intermission down, and we have to pass this woman who has, with great difficulty, gotten out of her chair and stepped into the aisle with her crutches. And I catch this woman's eye, and she looks me in the face, and she says, "Whatever it is, boys, do it while you can." And Dan and I, chokes me up to talk about it. Dale and I go to intermission, and we have our Coca-Colas, and I turn to Dale, and I said, "Did you know that woman?" He said, "No, did you know that?" I said, "No, I didn't know that woman." And I wanted to talk to her because she had said such a salient thing at such an important time in our lives. And when I had come back, when we came back to get our seats, she had gone. She had taken her leave, and she had exited the auditorium, so I didn't have an opportunity to follow up. But that is one of those little lessons from angels unawares that says, do it while you can. And I'm so glad that she did, because we did. But as it says at the end of the book, you know, in the coda of the book, it says, we did this at a time when we could. Dale and I, now 10 years on, are less excited about taking on something like that. And so, to the non-nautical reader, I would say, do it while you can, whatever it is, because it is, in my experience, it is not at all what you think it's going to be. It's 100 times better. You can't imagine all the benefit you will get from whatever it is you want to do until you're in it, and particularly when you're in it so deep that you can't get out.
That's the key right there, right?
Yeah. It's when you get in so deep, you know, it's good money after bad, but what you come away with is an experience that will set you apart from your peers for the rest of your life.
Alexander Watson's book is River Queens, Saucy Boat, Stout Mates, Spotted Dog America. You can find out more at riverqueens.us.